All right, I got my text in Job chapter number 1. And verse 14, it starts off saying, "And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them." And I'm going to cut this a little short. So 14 through 19, basically, Job had a whole bunch of messengers come to him and just deliver bad news after bad news after bad news. And messengers just came back and forth, one after another, and gave him bad news. And eventually, the news got worse and worse as it went on, I believe, because it went from just animals to his whole family died. And Job's got to be one of my he's got to be one of my favorite in the Bible, because every time the storms come, he always worships God in the end. And I think that's one of the perfect examples of what we need to do as Christians, no matter how hard it is. Later down in verse number 21, he says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I got through reading in Job, and you keep going, and all the way to the very end of the book. And chapter number 42, and verse number 10. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had." I'm glad when the storms come. Even though you can't tell how bad it is, it just gets worse. And the world's beating you down. And it seems like it can't get better. There goes God, just working in the background. Just seeing how faithful you'll be. Just seeing if you'll keep going on. And when it's all said and done, he just multiplies it. I just want to thank God for all he's done for me. It may seem bad from the outside looking at me because, you know, my family's not with me at the moment. And, you know, it might seem like I'm alone, but I'm not. It's not as bad as it seems. If you look at your storm, I don't know what you go through on a daily basis, but if you just look at your storm and you say, "Here, God, it's all yours," and you just keep going to church and you just keep lifting your hands, you just keep praising God, you keep preaching the word, it's going to be all worth it.
To be honest, I don't know what to preach. I had some prepared, and I'm not going to do that. I'm just not. Because she's heard me sing. I love the verse that Brother Danny preached on Wednesday night. 2 Timothy 3:14, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." I have a life motto, and God gave it to me in a time of storm. 2 years ago, my mother was diagnosed with cancer, and it was the hardest thing I've ever had to go through. Still going through it on a daily basis. And I didn't know what to do. I had no answers. I know all the Christian stuff to do. I know all the things that I'm supposed to say, and I know the things I'm supposed to do. But those things don't help sometimes.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
And I was in our teen group one night. I went on the altar and I prayed to God. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I need your help.
Amen.
And He brought back two sermons I had heard a long time ago, way before this had ever happened. And one of them I had heard on the radio, and it amazed me because the man just over and over said, just trust me. Talking about God, he said, God is saying, just trust me when you don't know what to do. Just trust me when everything's going wrong. Just trust me when your wife is dead. Trust me when everything just doesn't make sense. And come to find out that man had preached that sermon at his wife's funeral. And it was amazing that through all that, God had just said, trust me. And then he brought back one of my, the pastor up in South Carolina, Brother Larry Brown, had preached, and all it was is just take another step. It's amazing what you do in life if you just take another step. And he wound at the climax of the sermon, and he's walking around the stage just saying, when you don't know what to do, just take another step. When nothing makes sense, just take another step. And it amazed me. And I swear, it was like God leaned down and just said, all you got to do, just got to trust me. Take another step. Just continue on. Continue down the things which thou know thou hast learned. And it's amazing what you can do in life if you just take another step. I've gone through 2 years of life. Just take another step. It's hard sometimes. It's harder than I ever thought. Just trust God and take another step. I can't tell you how much that's helped me, and it may not help you, and this may just be something that God gave me. Just continue on, and you can says continue the things that thou hast learned. Just do what you know to do. When it all boils down to do what you know to do. Take another step. Trust God. He'll get you through it. I promise you that. I'm going to be preaching out of Matthew 5, start with verse 14. Seems like I don't have a lot of time. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. As Christians, I see it very important that we be lights of the world, especially in the darkness we live in. But when I was a kid, when I was your age, everything I was told that was wrong, the world makes it seem okay. And growing up in school, everything I was told that was wrong, I was forced to accept it. But that's not life. 15 to 16. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Under that bushel, right now, we're all lights in here. Everyone's saved. Everyone's a Christian. This is our bushel. It's easy to show up in your shirt and tie, get on that altar and pray. But when you're out there in that world, that's darkness. That's where you show your light. And just because you're saved doesn't mean that you stop. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. And when he took it from under the bushel and he put it on a candlestick, that's sharing the light. That's witnessing to people. And that word darkness, I had to define it because I'm not a walking Webster. The word it defines the partial or total absence of light. Now, when we're out there, you may see it's hard to talk to people about the Lord because you're just one person. You're one Christian. You go to work you work for 30 people. You're the only Christian. So I turned the light off right now, and it was completely dark in here, and I had one candle, just one. Every single one of you could see that light. Just one candle. So as we go out in that dark world tomorrow, everybody, shine your lights.
Okay. I mean, speaking out of 1 Samuel 17. Okay. 1 Samuel 17. No doubt everybody has heard this story more than about 500 times. But I was reading up on it not too long ago, and a little thing stood out. For the sake of time, I'm not really going to read. But most of what I'm going to talk about is Goliath. And at this point, David's already at the battlefield, and he's in the process of analyzing Goliath. And Goliath is sitting there. He's standing by himself out in front of the whole army of Philistines, and he's covered in armor. He's got a giant sword. The man's over 9 foot tall. I mean, we all think Alan's tall, and this joker's huge. He's got this giant sword, big thing. He's got a spear. And since his hands are so full with weapons, and since he's so weighted down, he has to have somebody else come up and carry his shield for him. He's obviously has no set of respect for any of the Hebrews, cussing and wailing and I feel like that's what we see in the storm. We see this giant wave of everything. And we see this big, gigantic thing, and it's all over us, and that's all we got, and it's covered in armor, and there's no way to pinpoint, there's no chinks whatsoever, and it's just overbearing and all over us.
Yeah.
But it's everything's coming on you, and you don't know what to do. And even if you look, all the whole Hebrew army is, no, you can't do this. There's no way you're going to be able to do that. You see how big he is. There's armor, and he's covered. And you're just this little kid with a sling and a couple of stones about yay big. And there's no way you can come up by yourself without anyone, no armor whatsoever, and defeat this giant. And he puts his faith in God, and comes up, throws the rock right into his head. And so jumping over to verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. He was already prepared. He did not need anything else from the people around him. God gave him everything he needed for that fight. And verse 51, therefore David ran. He ran to the thing that was opposing him. He ran to the thing that was too big for him, that he could not deal with by himself. And stood upon the Philistine and took his sword. And drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. That wasn't enough just to kill him. God said, you prevailed over this. Finish it. Do the whole thing. Put yourself above this storm. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I'd like to see that. Those Philistines behind Goliath were just a front. Some, if not most, of the storm you're facing is just for show. The main part of it, God's already prepared you for. That's just to get you off track. That's just to push you over. The storm, any storm you ever come up on, God's already got you prepared for. And I think that's it.
All righty. Read out 1 Kings. Chapter number 17. Start reading in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, dwell there, and behold, I command a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came there to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. We all know this story. I don't think I need to read the rest of it for just the sake of time. But I don't want to focus on Elijah. For just a minute, I want to take some time and just, I want to notice the widow woman. And I didn't make write this up here on the front pew. God completely changed my message this afternoon. But you notice she's come there. She's on the outskirts of the city and she's gathered together two sticks. And she's gathered together these two sticks so she can go home. And in this time of drought, she's prepared herself to make one last meal for her and her son. And then she planned to die. So just for about 3 minutes here, because that's all I think I'll have left, I want to preach on in your drought. When you're gathering your two sticks. Brother John, you don't know it, but here a couple weeks back, I was gathering my two sticks. I'd already made up my mind before I got here. I said, that's it. I'm tired. This drought has gone on for so long, and I know there's only enough meal left in that barrel for one more time.
Come on.
And there's only enough oil in that cruise for one more time. Hey, that oil is the type of the Spirit. There's only enough Spirit of God left in me for one more time. Hey, there's only enough food there left for me one more time. I gathered together my two sticks, Brother John. And you didn't know I gathered together my two sticks to fix for myself to eat one more time. Brother John, you came by and you said, hey, you know, it'd be really great. It'd be really good if you could preach for junior church this week.
Yeah.
I sat there going, I ain't got nothing left, Brother John. Brother John, I was all used up. All spit out. There was only one head full of meal and a little bit of oil left in the crude.
Yeah. Come on.
Brother John, you didn't know it, but you said, I know you're hungry, and I know that's all you got left. But would you make that cake for me?
Yeah, that's good.
So, Brother John, I made my cake. And I came, and what I thought I was doing, I thought I was giving away my last meal. But, Brother John, I saw a little girl. I saw the girl who was there sitting in the back as we sang, who's daddy leaning on? Lean her little head back into the room. I saw a little girl wheelchairs. We went standing up. She reached that head up the best she could. And Brother John, you didn't know it when you asked me for my last meal. But what you did is you sustained me. See, I thought God had forgot about me. Brother John, every day since then, it seemed like there's only one handful left in the barrel.
Come on.
Hey, Brother Ian, can I let you know something, buddy? Because nobody's going to tell you this. I'm right where you're going to be in 1 year. 1 year's time. You're going to be standing right here. And it's going to seem like there's only one handful left in the bottom of the barrel. There's just a little bit left in the bottom of the cruise.
Come on.
But can I let you know, it's still there. Hey, there's still a little oil left in these pages. Hey, you can't see it, but there's teardrops on these pages. And there's just a little bit of meal left in this book.
Yeah.
Hey, there's going to be every morning when you wake up, it's going to seem like you've been defeated.
Yeah.
It's going to seem like in the middle of your drought, you are fixing your last meal, buddy. So you've gathered together your two sticks and you've got ready to go and fix yourself your very last meal.
Hell, brother. Hey, man.
But Elijah's come by and said, hey, I know you need it, but will you feed me?
Yeah.
Son, you didn't realize it, but every single time you stepped behind there for the past three times, you fed me.
Yeah.
So if you just keep on feeding me, can I let you know something? There'll be just one more handful. Hey, there'll just be a little bit of oil left in the bottom of that cruise.
Hey, man.
You weren't fixing your meal for just you. It's not just you that's going to die. If you have no other reason to carry on, John Owen's back there watching you.
Yeah.
Jonah's watching you.
Amen.
Josie's watching you. And if you take your two sticks and you fix that last meal for yourself and you eat and you die, they'll die with you. But if you just go ahead and give it, there's going to be one more handful left in the bottom of that barrel. There's going to be a little bit of oil left in the bottom of that cruise. And at the end of it, I like the songwriter. The songwriter said it one time, I know how I made it. I made it by grace. Lips that are slower now, I'm taking each one by faith. Standing on Jordan's stormy shore, I'll lift my trembling voice once more. I know how I made it. I made it by grace. And you just go ahead and you fix that last meal. But it ain't yours. You ain't dying today. That barrel ain't going empty and that cruise ain't going empty neither. You go ahead and fix that meal and you go ahead and give it out because it ain't yours to have.
Good evening, everybody. I want to say I'm thankful for this church, first off, and my family and my wife, who's always pushed me to go to church when I never wanted to go for years. But I just want to open up saying that I felt like God wanted me to speak, and I rarely get up, so I figured might as well stand up there and do it. So even though I don't have much time, I'd rather start out in prayer than anything else in my life. So, Lord, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for my pastor and everyone here and their love for God, and ask that anything that I say and everything I do would just point back to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the general idea that I have is a song that my wife used to tell me. It's called The Slow Fade. I don't know if you've ever heard it. But there's a real good principle about if you go to shoot a gun and you're aiming at a target, and say I'm trying to hit this water bottle and I'm about this close to it and I just go over just a little hair fraction, Sean would probably know what I'm talking about. But if I aim and I'm dead center, but I move over just a little bit from that water bottle and I back up 1,000 feet, I'm going to miss. I'm going to completely miss the target. And there's three main verses that I want to focus on. There's some Old Testament ones, which I don't have time to go into, which I'd love to. But the point is that they sacrifice daily, every single day. And I wondered, why did they sacrifice daily? That just, I'm like, you know, once a year, once a month, you know, every once in a while. But every day, that just seems like a lot. And I got thinking about that, and then I remembered the scripture in Luke 9:23 that said, "He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and daily follow me." All I can say is that if you don't daily keep re-aiming your sights for God, if you don't keep daily taking up that cross and dying to self, you're going to start getting off track. You're going to miss the target. You're going to gradually go off. And years ago, I was as young as a lot of these young preachers, and I've compromised, and gradually, oh, it's no big deal, it's no big deal. My wife knows that saying, I say it all the time. It is a big deal. It's huge. If you're getting your eyes off Jesus and you're stepping in the wrong direction, and it's about not about you and not about Him, but about you, you're off target. But see if I can get to the other one. Okay, this is 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let them thinketh he, let's see here if I can read this. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And I remember when I was very, very young, I was learned how, or someone taught me how to walk straight and narrow on something without falling. And how you do that is you look right where you're going. That if you look to the right or the left, you're going to fall, guaranteed. And I don't know if my wife catches me, but sometimes when we go to restaurants, I'll be walking on those things that stop cars and just seeing if I can still balance and without falling, and just that whole idea of focusing. But see if I can remember the other verse here since I wrote it down. And then you can ding me if you want. It'll be more fun that way. Okay. All right. So Matthew 7:13-14. I'm just going to read both because it's a blessing. And I want to say one thing, Dylan. It's a blessing to me that you read that about Goliath, because it was probably last week I was at work crying over that chapter. And I don't know why it is, maybe because my heart's so much about music, but when I hear the word read, I start tearing up, and it hits me like no other, and I'm at work. When I'm not taking a call, I'm just crying over my Bible, but it's a blessing. But Matthew 7:13. Let's see here. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be set apart. And how can we be set apart if we're gradually getting off the goal?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'll say one other thing real quick is I had the thought when I was just kept reading over this again and again and thinking about the general idea is I was wondering, what's 1 degree? 1 degree when we're aiming, or 1 degree when we're in a ship, a boat, was what I was thinking about. So I thought I'd look it up. Well, 1 degree, if you start at the equator and go all the way around the world, you're 500 miles off from your target. 62 miles, you're 1 mile off from your target, if you're 1 degree off. So all I can say is every day, daily take up your cross as they sacrificed daily in the past. Daily die to yourself and seek God, or you will be off track.
If you would take your Bibles and turn in, open to 1 Samuel chapter number 14. 1 Samuel chapter number 14. Just like thank you for this opportunity to preach, preacher. From 1 Samuel chapter number 14, verse number 1, it says, "Now it come to pass upon this day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that it is on the other side. But he told not his father. Now if we go forth unto verse number 6, it says, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." First thing I want to notice is Jonathan has an armor bearer. I'm not going to preach on Jonathan too much. I'm going to preach on that armor bearer. Just like Jonathan needed that armor bearer when he was going into war with the Philistines to slay the Philistines. Brother Edward, can I tell you, the Philistines are always a representation of the world.
Yeah.
And before Brother Edward ever goes out into that world, he's going to need some armor bearers to pray for him.
Yeah.
Hey, can I tell you, he's going to need to gird up in that armor.
Yeah.
And can I tell you here in Ephesians chapter number 6, in verse number 10 through 18, we notice here through all these verses here, it tells us about all the different types of armor that you can put on before you go out into the world. Here we notice in verse number 10, it said, "Finally, my brethren, the strong in the Lord and the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Can I tell you, he's going to need some truth when he goes out in this world. He's going to need us to pray for him so he can spread that gospel. And having the breastplate of righteousness, he's going to have to live a righteous life, though, to be able to be a representation of Christ out in this world. Like Brother James was preaching earlier, you're going to have to be that light in this dark world. In verse number 15, we see in your peace job with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Can I tell you, if he ain't in this Bible, if we ain't praying for him, he ain't got no preparation for this world and everything they have for him. In verse number 16, it says, "And take him the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked." Can I tell you, we're going to need some faith, preacher. Take it one step at a time, like Brother Michael was saying. Just got to take it one step at a time. Verse number 17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Can I tell you, we're going to take this out in that world.
Yeah.
If we're ever going to defeat them enemies, we're going to take this out into the world. Hey, can I tell you, Brother Edward's going to need some armor bearers. Brother John's going to need some armor bearers. Brother Colton's going to need some armor bearers. Brother James going to need some armor bearers. Ian's going to need some armor bearers. And who's going to be their armor bearer is my question. Who's going to be their armor bearer when they go out in this world and they're all by themselves? They're going to need someone. Jonathan needs someone before he went through the Philistines.
Sure.
We're all going to need someone.
Sure.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Turn your Bible to back to chapter 3 tonight. Preacher, I thank you for the opportunity tonight. We're going to read three verses, and then I'm going to give you what the Lord gave me. I've had this on my mind a lot of times when I'm sitting in church. You might think I'm just reading to be reading, but these are good verses. It says, "Although the fig tree shall not bloom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, the labors of the olive tree shall fail, and the field shall not yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from them, the fold and thee shall no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." Hallelujah, right there. We can rejoice in the Lord. "I will joy in the God of my salvation, the Lord God of my strength, and He will make my feet as hind feet, and He will make me to my walk upon my high places, to the chief things of my instruments." I thank God tonight He can be His shepherd when you need somebody to go to tonight. I thank God tonight, number two, He can be your salvation when you need something. When you don't feel like you got nothing going on, when you sit at home and you feel alone, you can think back of that day when He saved you, when He gave you something to be about. Number three, He's your strength. That strength is all that matters. When you get down and out, when you have nobody to go to, when you sit home all alone. I've been there a lot of times. And you're at work, you don't feel like nobody's around. Brother preacher, you know, Bobby Woods, I thank God for him tonight. We may not agree a lot of things. You know what? He gives me some words. Sometimes I'm down at work and have nothing to go. That strength, God just says, hey, I'm here for you. I thank God tonight. Number four is that straight path. You get down, you have no path to go to. You can come over here to Douglas Drive. I pass by here all the time. I thank God for this church, for the path He brought me here. I thank God for that. Number four, number five is a song. That song He gives you. If you read the first part of this chapter, number three, Habakkuk was talking about a song. He started with a song. He started with something strong, and he ended with it says, my strength is, and you can come back to that song and think about God's been good to you. You get through the hard times. Grace for grace, under His wings. There's songs you can think about when you get down to something you have nothing else to go to. You don't have your Bible at work with you. But you can have a song right here in your head of what God's done for you over and over and over again. I thank God for this red back right here. I thank God for this book. It may be from the Church of God, but I thank God you can read it. You can read it. Number 50. Numbers 91. I thank God for them songs He gives you through the hard times, through the beginning of them. And I thank God for all He's done for us. Amen.